Good morning and welcome in to a Thursday edition of The Blitz. I'm Charlie Collier. To my left, Andy Brock. Back behind the board, Sam Beard. As we help get you to your lunch break on this Thursday. Starting a couple minutes late here because once again, we keep getting our butts kicked by trains. Like, trains are up 110 to like 15 on us. We are the University of the Cumberlands and trains are Georgia Tech. We are whatever weird university Stephen F. Austin played this weekend.
I was about to say.
And trains are what? Stephen F. Austin.
That was 98-0, right?
Yes. Yeah. And like they could have got 100.
They could have.
They easily could have gotten 100.
Yeah.
I mean, trains are ruining us. Somehow the entire radio station just seems to be like flanked by trains. If you come in from the north side, there's trains. Coming from the south side, there's trains. Coming from the east, trains. I guess maybe not the west, but none of us come in from the west. I don't know. Maybe there is a west train. But I know that no matter what what way I go to get here, I will cross two train tracks every day. Every single day.
Like, automatically.
I can go like three or four different ways. It doesn't matter. There's just train tracks.
It's anytime
absurd.
You need to be somewhere, too.
Yes, and the one on Neyland Drive.
That's the most egregious.
It always just stops. Why is that train? Like, you were just saying it, Andy.
Oh, yeah. No, it creeps up there and then just stops.
They just like do stuff to it.
For like 20 minutes.
The rest of it hanging out in the middle of the street. And I don't know what they're doing to it. Maybe they just enjoy watching like students panic as they are.
Oh, the think about how many students were late because of that this morning. Like every morning when that happens. Because it happens every morning.
Almost, it feels like. But I heeded Andy's advice this time around. Well, somehow I was in front of Andy this time.
You were.
It's a rarity. But I was like, oh, yeah, there's
Well, we left with a good amount of time. Like, there was plenty of time. Yeah,
we're going to get here, you know, a solid 10 minutes early.
Yep.
So I texted him. I was like, man, an accident and a train. Slow morning. Disaster of a morning. Something like that. I heeded his advice this time. I popped a UE and decided to try to go through campus rather than wait on the train.
Well, you have no idea how long the train's going to sit there.
I also have no idea how campus works these days, apparently. Because the last 2 years that I was in college, I was on campus for sporting events, and that was it.
True.
I didn't go to any classes
there. Yeah, online classes,
I went to like five badminton classes. But like any other in-person classes, I just didn't go to, or the rest were just online.
You don't usually drive around campus. A lot of times you walk.
So I had no idea, that the road by the baseball field was closed. So I tried
completely
to turn
closed.
There. It was closed. I had to turn around. But it was no sweat. You know, I went back up to...
Where'd you go from there? What was your route after that?
Because I went up to that light, right? Is that Lake Loudon Boulevard right there? If you
I don't know the name.
Stokely on the left.
Yeah.
So I turned left there.
Yep.
And then I got to the rock.
Okay. Oh, you turn right at the rock.
Right
that's
the
a
rock.
Bad decision.
You
got to keep going down the road.
I didn't know that Ped Walkway is just further up now. That road just ceases to exist.
The university did not understand when they blocked that off and to make it like a walkway for students, like freshman students. They do not understand how important of a crossroad that is to cut through campus.
The most important. Why on earth do they get rid of that?
Gets you from the backside of campus all the way to the strip.
Yeah, long are the days where you could just go right to the strip down there by the light.
Like what?
You can't do that anymore. That was the best access. Like that's how I would get. When I lived in the fort, that's how I would get to like the T-Rec or
that's the only way I moved through campus. That's why I was expecting that this morning. There were already sidewalks. Like, why did they have to just add more?
It's a one way now. It's a one way now.
Why
they
have to add
go?
More walkway? It doesn't make any sense. So then I had to turn around again and just like the sidewalk. Basically, I just drove on the sidewalk and turned around. Then finally, I got right. Maybe then I went through the Ag campus and turn on a Neyland Drive.
Oh, okay. Yeah, see, I went all the way down to the light like before, like on Cumberland by Pilot.
Casey's. I didn't want to sit at that light.
See, that's the way
to go.
That's
the way
to go.
And then you can just turn right onto the road you need to get to eventually. You know, like where Cumberland
and Kingston
Pike meets.
I wanted to get past that little mess because a lot of times it's just a mess next to that Casey's.
True.
I mean, I think everyone in Tennessee that doesn't know how to drive collectively meets up at Casey's every morning and every afternoon. and they all just put on their turn signals and just turn different directions, and they all just sit there and stare at each other like mouth breathers.
There's some bad driving around those areas.
There's some terrible driving. The one thing that drives me crazy, please, if you're listening to this and this is you, this is not a personal attack. This is just a call to action. When there are two turn lanes, it's not a choose-your-own-adventure story, guys. It's two turn lanes. It means you turn into the turn lane you start at. I don't know what it is, but in this city, more than any other city I've been in my life, whenever there's two turn lanes, people just turn in whatever lane they want. I almost get in like three accidents a week because people just turn into the wrong turn lane.
Well, there's also like a situation where it's like everyone gets in the same lane, and then there's one just like wide open. It's like you can take that one too, and then at some point merge over. So I don't know. Like I feel like people choose the same lane.
I turn right from Cumberland onto the Henley Street Bridge. Like every day, pretty much. Just I'm always heading that direction somehow.
Okay.
There are two turn lanes, right?
Yeah.
There's an inside and an outside.
Yep.
And I'm always in the outside turn lane. And there's always a line of about 10 cars on the inside, and I'm always just the lone car in the outside turn lane. Half the time, I make that turn, someone just turns into the wrong lane, and I have to swerve out of traffic and blare a horn and yell at someone with my window rolled down.
It's a problem.
The same thing goes for like the two turn lanes like by the interstate there and by that pilot all the time. People just don't get it. So if that's you and you just realized, oh, wait, you can't pick whatever turn lane, it's okay. I still love you, but just let's fix it. Let's be better, Knoxville. So really just a disastrous morning, but we're here. We're live. We weren't really that late after all.
Nope. Could have been worse.
It's a common
thing,
about it.
You could still be sitting behind that train right now.
I could.
That's
the thing. There might be people listening right now that are behind that train.
Yeah.
Well, if you are, by the way, don't try to take the shortcut I did. Like, if you just heard me map that out, do the opposite. Complete opposite. But
I might have been behind you when you turned into the baseball facility. I can't remember. There was definitely
Andy
a truck in front
by
of me.
Charlie's truck. Look at that idiot.
I didn't remember it, but I remember seeing a truck it go down that road.
No, I was looking for you in my rear view the whole time. I never once saw you.
Little did you know I was in front of you.
I mean, I figured at some point, given the multiple wrong turns that you would pass me. Man. Yeah, no, trains have just long have been a long-standing rival with the Blitz, and then really just Fox Sports Knoxville too. I mean, I think 3 and Out has like a fight with a train like once a week.
Yeah, sometimes you gotta let it out. Sam said it best. You know, it's just like at this point they shouldn't be just running around. You know, they shouldn't be given free rein over the roads.
We are far too advanced as a society, like technologically, where we can't figure out a way to just throw these guys underground and just let them run free.
Throw
I mean, I don't care
else.
What you do, but like
the thing is, you can.
The thing is, I love trains.
Wow.
You just
hate when they inconvenience you.
I hate that they are consistently inconveniencing
maybe
me.
Maybe
the idea of just a relaxing train ride through the countryside to me sounds incredible.
If someone could call in and they know what are these trains doing right now? Like what are they doing?
Delivering stuff.
Well, yeah, but what are they doing?
Maybe the tunnel underground just needs to be for cars, and it's just like a little it's just a little dip under the railroad
track.
That's
actually a bet. Well, structurally, though, is it going to hold up then if it's hollowed out underneath?
Under the water level,
well,
too.
I mean, I'm no engineer, but like sure that we can get somebody to figure that one out for us.
Where are them Tickle Boys at? Over at the Tickle.
True. Well, you got a lot of engineers.
Yeah.
Give them a bridge, just like a bridge. Give them a little
train bridge.
Little bridge on top of that road.
Yeah, I mean, just something.
We've got a lot of bridges in town.
I don't know, but like imagine like reversing this. How cool would it be if they just built like a bullet train or like a really fast train?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
In see, like the state.
See, that's why
you could just hop on a train and like be in Nashville in like an hour.
Yeah, that's why I'm like not all the way out on trains because they could be really useful, but we just don't have a lot of good useful trains
I
around.
I think maybe I'm out on our usage of trains more so. Our utilization is poor. Very poor. But like, man, imagine though, like if they got like just connected the major cities in Tennessee. Like if we could just Saturday night, like, hey, you want to hop on the train, like hit up Broadway? That'd be sick.
We need a like a national train system to get us around. Just think about if you could take
Let's
the train
get rid
from,
of
like,
planes and replace them with trains.
Yeah.
But like fast trains.
Yeah, just like limit planes to only international travel, and then we'll just do the bullet train stateside.
Stateside, yeah.
Think about if you could just take a train from Nashville, like from Knoxville to Nashville, and didn't have to drive every Sunday.
That's what I just said, Sam. Oh, yeah, I mean, or like going to Broadway or something. Like, imagine if I could just you grab a few White Claws, you hop on the train, four White Claws, and an hour later, you're on Broadway. You're ready to have a good time.
Even away games.
Yeah.
Man, I could.
Then end of the night comes, you hop back on the 3 a.m. train back to Knoxville. You know that thing's going to be a party. It's like the train, the late train from New York to Jersey on How I Met Your Mother. That thing's going to be crazy. Anyway.
All right, we're starting a bullet train.
Let's replace all our bad trains with good trains.
Okay.
I think that's what we've come to.
That's a good. That's a good moral of the story. Good trains, good.
Bad trains, bad. Yeah, and most trains in Knoxville, bad trains.
I'm sure they do good things, just none that are clearly aware to me.
Only replace Knoxville trains.
Yeah,
we can keep trains everywhere else besides this city.
Let's add more trains to Tuscaloosa.
All around.
That'd
the
be board. A nightmare.
Let's.
No, they don't.
Let's build nothing but roundabouts and train tracks.
Let's box
all
in
over
Bryant Denny Stadium with train tracks.
Just put like five roundabouts in Tuscaloosa. That entire city will shut down for weeks at a time.
Wonder what like the worst train city is, like the city that is
Knoxville,
most
Tennessee.
Marred by trains.
No, it's Knoxville, Tennessee.
Is there a stat like that?
There doesn't need to be because if it says anything other than Knoxville, Tennessee. It's incorrect.
I don't know if anyone's ever like written an article about that, like what has the most trains.
I don't know. Well, this is our – we do this like once every couple months on the Blitz where we just get upset about trains and rant about it in the first hour. But otherwise, how you doing?
Lovely. I feel like this week's flying by, don't you?
Yeah, like, it's actually like
– very quick.
One of the quickest bye weeks ever.
It's probably just because there's not really a game we've been talking about this weekend as much, so I feel like – I don't know. Every day is kind of like one day, doom, doom. But now it's just like there's not really much going on this weekend in terms of Tennessee football. So it's just like, go right through it.
That's a good noise.
Do you like those sound effects?
That's a really
good
noise.
That's right.
Sam, you good?
Yeah, I'm pretty good. I'm excited for this Thursday night football game tonight.
A lot of people betting on the Dolphins.
I'm all over the Bengals tonight.
All over the Bengals. Glad we're on the same page.
Mike McDaniel's luck is running out tonight.
Yeah,
I'm all over the Bengals.
Tua's throwing multiple picks.
I think like
Eli Apple, I think, is going to just go off.
I think, Let me not get this wrong here.
Eli Apple.
75% of the bets are on Dolphins money line tonight.
Saw that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great reason to pick the Bengals. Can we already do best bet? Because I just want to take the Bengals money line as my best bet.
Yeah, I mean, we'll just go ahead and lock that in for me and Sam. Our best bets are both Bengals money line.
But, yeah, I'm doing good. I watched the shark documentary, the 30 for 30 last night.
There's a 30 for 30 about sharks?
Greg Norman. It was about Greg Norman.
Oh, I thought you meant like legitimate sharks.
No. Like the shark Greg Norman.
Okay.
Really good documentary, honestly.
But
I hadn't seen it in a long
sucks.
Time. And it made me like hate him about the live even more because he was trying to justify his six-shot choked lead at the Masters. He was like, oh, the golf gods hated me that day. I think he just played bad.
Yeah, maybe Greg, you could scramble a little bit better. Maybe hit a couple more fairways, brother.
But yeah, I'm doing good. I'm ready for this game tonight. Ready for some football this weekend. Wish our Vols were playing though. I'm gonna be sad like watching.
I don't know what I'm gonna do Saturday.
Football Saturday and not.
I mean, I'm still gonna watch. I do know what I'm gonna do Saturday. I'm gonna watch 14 hours of football, but like, it's gonna feel different.
Yeah.
I'm doing good today. Thanks for asking. I got a big day planned. Huge day.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm going to get a vacuum cleaner fixed.
Nice.
Ooh. And I'm running over to Crown Cleaners to get a jacket. What do they call it? Dry cleaned.
There we go.
That whole thing?
I've never been to a dry cleaners before, so
what's
this will
occasion?
Be new.
Like, why do you need to get your jacket dry cleaned?
I went to a wedding in August and sweat a lot, and I was looking at it, and I was like, oh, wait, you're supposed to, like, take these to dry cleaners.
Yeah.
Yep.
But I've never been to one. I don't know what to expect. Like, do I just hand it to them and will you dry clean this for me and then, like, I leave?
Pretty it does take some time, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah, and then they just, how much does that, like, usually run me?
I think it depends on the item.
Like, if I have one singular jacket, like, is it, like,
I don't know.
40 bucks, 20 bucks, 10?
I don't know. I honestly haven't dry cleaned a lot either.
I have no idea if they're going to be like, it's $5.99, or if they're going to be like, you owe me $50. I don't know. No idea.
I would say it's somewhere in the middle of that.
And I have no idea how much it costs to get a vacuum cleaner fixed either.
Depends on how nice the dry cleaner is, I guess.
Crown cleaner is the best around.
Or how bad off the suit is from the wedding.
I think it's relatively all right.
Just standard.
Yeah, and then I'm going to go do my Morristown West prep, and then Thursday nights I eat the best barbecue in the world.
That's right, Oakwood.
Yeah. No free milk, Andy.
You're right.
Just the best barbecue in the world. It's ambiguous where that may or may not be.
That was a fake.
Yeah, name. That was. We've never even heard of that barbecue in our lives.
I don't know about that.
But it is the best brisket I've ever had in my entire life, not just in Knoxville, not just in the state of Tennessee, but in the entire world. So I eat that on Thursday nights. It's going to be really good. I'm already looking forward to it. So, yeah, good day all around besides the trains, and we'll get rolling on the other side. Stay with us here on the Blitz. Oh, man. I just realized I got so fed up with trains, I didn't even open up my laptop. Put it up here anyway.
I already knew what you needed to talk about.
Yeah. Well, we're off and running. We're live here in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. As I pull out my laptop, let me remind you, hey, you should make the switch to White Claw this football season. If you haven't already, what are you waiting for? Ditch the beer belly bloat. There's nothing like sitting there in a third quarter and you're bloated. You don't feel great. Like you got that weird beer burp. You got that weird fuzzy feeling. You know, it's just not good. It's just not good. I've had like one beer in like 2 years now, and it's significantly better. I don't miss anything about it, especially, you know, just that weird bloated feeling. So switch over to White Claw. Available in 16 or many deliciously refreshing flavors crafted with quality ingredients, a seltzer base or a gluten-free base. A hint of fruit flavor, and a blend of seltzer water. 100 calories, 1 gram of sugar, only 1 gram of sugar, and 5% alcohol. Oops, said that backwards. Please drink responsibly. Again, we love White Claw. Well, for the first time in a while, we're not going to talk football here to start the show today, because the Tennessee basketball team has started practice this week, and I don't really think it's getting the buzz that it deserves right now. I think that we're looking at a Tennessee basketball team that is set up to have another really, really good year, a team that can compete to win in the SEC, to win the SEC tournament, to make a deep tournament run. I think this is setting up to be a really good basketball team, and I'm excited about what they have going on right now. But as fall practice begins, as preseason practice begins this week, Andy, what are you what storyline are you paying the most, you know, attention to with this team?
Yeah, I don't know if there's like any specific storyline that's like glaring at you. I think you've got a lot of returners. Obviously, you've got a lot of interesting newcomers. I think maybe the one thing that I feel like everyone pays attention to at this point is like, how are the newcomers doing? Like, how are some of these transfers doing? Your new players. Rick Barnes spoke to the media for one of the first times, you know, this year, a few days ago, and he said he was really impressed with BJ Edwards and how he was progressing in this summer, going up against other guards like Sakai and Santi. That can't be easy coming right in and having to do that. I know just a lot of competition in there. He's going to be one of those guys fighting for a spot. Is he a point guard, shooting guard? Where does he fit into the team? So I feel like those are the storylines. Like, you know your main characters. You know what your guys are going to do. You know what you're going to get out of Santi and Zakai and Josiah. Like, how have they improved? One, sure, that's a storyline. But where do these new guys fit in? How have they handled this transition? And just kind of like, what's the new style of this team? Because every year feels a little bit different from the next one, so it's kind of just like finding that identity and trying to understand what they're going to do this year.
Yeah, I think what you were saying at the beginning, too, with the newcomers. B.J. Edwards is a guy that, you know, he committed really early, and he was in your class for a while, and I don't necessarily think he got the same buzz, maybe, as other players that are similar in skill level, similar in ranking, have gotten in the past. I'm really excited about B.J. Edwards. I think that he can step right in from the beginning and be a really valuable player for this team. The storyline that I'm most paying attention to right now is Zakai Ziegler and what his role is going to be, because you heard Rick Barnes say that you know, Zakai wants to continue to come off the bench. And that means that, well, either B.J. Edwards or Tyreek Key is going to have to fill in you know, at that starting point guard role. Unless you move Santiago Vescovi over there. Vescovi. But, oh, wow, wait. What was...
It's now Vescovi.
Yeah, I got up there and I was like, oh, what was the name change?
Yeah, that was... Yeah, kind of forgot about that whole thing. Yeah.
Santiago Vescovi. Or just Bob.
True, Bob.
Just Bob.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, he's just significantly better off ball. So I think that, you know, it is going to need to be Key or B.J. Edwards. But then when you look at Key and what he did in Indiana State, like, he was never the truest point guard there. It's in the Rick Barnes sense specifically, you know, you go back and look at his stats, like, he was more of a scoring guard than anything. He was not necessarily, like, the biggest runner of an offense, the biggest distributor. He averaged 2 assists a game for Indiana State. And, you know, he'd routinely have games where he'd have 1 assist or less. And, you know, he'd have 29 points in those games, 34 points. He'd grab 5, 6, 7 rebounds. But, you know, when I think of a Rick Barnes point guard, I think of a guy that is a facilitator. And I don't know if Tyreek Key necessarily fits that mold. So maybe it is B.J. Edwards then. And we've seen how Rick Barnes kind of handles freshmen, but I don't really know where else you go. I will say that I think having Zakai Ziegler come off the bench, absolutely the right decision. I think that that's the role he needs to be in.
It's kind of cool that he was the one that said that he's fine with that too, because there is that like awkwardness, like, hey, you came off the bench and were so productive last year. You're now like 1 year more experienced. Some of these other guys, you know, naturally you may think you deserve to start, and you might feel, you know, disrespected if you don't start. But the fact that he's saying like, I don't care. Like, some people do like coming off the bench and they perform better that way. And Zakai might just be one of those people, you know, like he's that dark horse spark that you throw in there, you know, midway through the first 5 minutes of the game or you're that first sub on, and it creates a whole different tempo that you just didn't see. And he obviously has that energy to do that. So I do like that he's already being like, I'll do whatever it takes for the team. Cause there's going to be, I think you're right, the point guard battle is kind of like that main one. Cause you have so many figures, like, where do they fit in? What's the right puzzle piece? And you probably won't know that even up to the first game.
I do think with Zakai, if he would have taken over that starting point guard role, I don't really know how comfortable I would have felt with that. Now, I think for all that he is, a very good player, a very good defender specifically, you know, a guy that just, it can't really be put into stats necessarily what his role as factor for this team is, but he's a guy that just provides a spark. It's not, you know, it can't really be calculated, but it's just visible when you watch this basketball team play. When he comes in, everyone just kind of gets a little extra juice. Everyone just plays a little bit better. He has that leadership in him. He kind of has, I guess, is that what they say? He has that dog in him. Is that the right usage of that? He just has that dog in him, really. But he is a little inefficient. You know, he does, at least as a freshman a year ago, who is undersized. It's fair. It's not like we're expecting him to not have these issues, but he also had, you know, some issues at times turning the basketball over. Sometimes he would get going a little too fast, I think, without a plan. And I think sometimes he'd get a little too far under the basket. And, you know, that's an adjustment that I think he has to and will make from year one to year two. It's just a little bit different than it was in high school. Guys are taller. Guys are lengthier. Those passing lanes close down a little bit, you know, quicker. But, you know, his efficiency numbers, again, under 40% from the field, and those turnovers on top of that, almost 2 a game. Yeah, I think coming off the bench is perfect for him. And he's going to play starter minutes. I mean, a year ago he played, what, 22 minutes a game?
Yeah.
Something like that, so.
I think the key is that you have a lot of guys that can play that position, like even Santi and Josiah have experience playing the point guard. So, I mean, at the worst, you have a lot of people that can handle the ball up the court at least, you know. And if last year, unfortunately, like Kennedy Chandler had to miss some time dealing with COVID there in December, and you had guys able to step up. I know there were some tough games in that stretch, but you had guys that were able to fill into some of those roles. So I feel like it could be an instance where we see a lot of point guard by committee at the start of the year, and then people obviously start to separate themselves and earn more minutes. But it's good to know that this team does have a lot of depth and just being able to take the ball at the court, because a lot of teams don't have that. Tennessee has at least five guys who could potentially do that and have a lot of experience doing it.
Absolutely. And, we'll kind of monitor that competition, too, throughout preseason, obviously. And like you said, I expect that to kind of go into the season, like you said, and eventually, you know, roles kind of iron themselves out. But I like the depth that you have on this team. I like that B.J. Edwards, I think, kind of continues to impress. I think that B.J. Edwards is going to be a really good defender, too. I'm expecting that out of him. A couple more things I'm pretty interested to see. Jonas Adu, I think he's one of the more intriguing players on this basketball team right now, because we saw him, you know, not really start to play until the final, like, 25% of the season. But when he did, he had some really bright moments. You know, he wasn't necessarily offensively polished, and there are moments that he looked like a freshman that was pretty raw. But there were times that, I mean, he went toe-to-toe with some really good basketball players where he gave you excellent minutes, especially defensively. I think this offseason, you know, if Rick Barnes can develop him, if Rick Barnes can develop a big man, I mean, that is what can elevate this team to the next level. If Jonas Adu is an above-average basketball player this year, Tennessee has a limitless ceiling to me. And I think Jonas Adu might just make that jump. Again, he's getting really good coaching here, you have to assume, and you know, he was just so raw, but he already showed just so many flashes of what he can become. So I'm excited to see what Jonas Adu becomes this offseason, what his role will be, just the battle down there in general with Olivier and Adu and, you know, Julian Phillips if you're playing a smaller lineup, and Uros, and just I feel like there's a lot of roles kind of undefined right now.
Yeah, the important thing with Jonas Adu is that he missed a lot of this time last year. Like he was hurt, not able to go for a lot of these early fall practices. So it's going to be really good for him to have had this full off season to kind of develop. And now that the fact that he was able to kind of get up to speed by the end of the season was already pretty remarkable. And I feel like he took steps every single game. Like you could see that progression. And Rick Barnes has obviously done a really good job developing big men with Grant Williams and Fulkerson and even Uros. Like, their progressions have been amazing throughout their career. So I think Jonas does have really good potential. I just think the thing for him is he going to be able to keep up with the fast tempo? Because Tennessee, with all their guards and all their speed, they're going to want to run. And obviously you have to rebound the ball down there. So I think for Jonas, it's going to be, where's his conditioning at? How strong has he gotten this offseason?
Sam, anything that we failed to mention? Anything you're looking at with this basketball team as practice begins?
Yeah, I think you definitely hit it on the head there with what is going to happen with Ziegler coming off the bench. I think it's a good thing that he wants to stay on the bench. You know, I think that there's room, like you're saying, Andy, on this roster to find a guy who can slip into that starting role while still letting Ziegler come off the bench and provide those valuable minutes off the bench, because I mean, I think Ziegler's probably, I would say he might be the most valuable bench player, like, in college basketball. He just brings an edge to our team whenever we kind of get in a little lull in the game and we're kind of sleepwalking a little bit. Ziegler comes in there and he provides such a spark to our team. I think that's really important to keep him on the bench and keep him as kind of the leader of that secondary team coming off the bench. And I'm just really interested to see just kind of how this team comes together and what kind of how we're playing each lineup. I think that there's just a lot of versatility that this team has, and I think that we can mix and match this lineup a lot of different ways to really be dangerous against anyone. And I think we can match a lot of teams in the country on basically any strength that they have, because I think that we just have a really well-balanced team this year. I'm excited to see where they're going this year.
Yeah, that's another key word. I think versatility, versatile. This roster, I don't know if maybe it's reaction to the way that seasons have ended now, a couple straight seasons disappointing fashion, but feels like Rick Barnes has maybe compiled a little bit more of a versatile roster. You know, you have guys that can play multiple positions at the guard position. You have guys that, you know, forwards that can come up and handle the ball or drop down in the paint. You know, you have big men that are athletic that can stretch the floor, but then you also have guys like Urosh that are strictly in the paint. You just have a lot of different options with this team, maybe more so than you've had even in the past. And, you know, if you want to go small ball, you can. If you want to try to play big, you can. You know, you can just do so much with this roster. And, you know, before we get out of this segment, some quotes real quick. We were talking about Tyreek Key and B.J. Edwards and both of those guys potentially, you know, battling with, you know, for that point guard spot. With Tyreek Key, Rick Barnes was asked about what he's learned about him since he arrived on campus. And he said it's his versatility. And there it is again, versatility. He has terrific instincts. We're telling him that, you know, we'd like to see him play the point some and learn different positions, but he's just got a game where he can be effective in so many different ways. Just an incredible work ethic, committed. He's tough on himself, but he brings it every day. He's never fought us on one thing, and he's going to make a huge impact for us because, again, of his versatility. As for B.J. Edwards, he said, well, if you really press me hard and ask me who I was most surprised with, it would be B.J. Went on to talk about how he's had to go against Zakai Ziegler just about every single day in practice. And Zakai, one of the toughest defenders on ball in the SEC, in major college basketball. And he said, hey, Zakai's, you know, pretty much always in season form. Like, it's never the off season for him. So that's a tough task. And he said, hey, watching BJ handle that every day was really neat. Again, somewhat surprising, to be quite frank, but he's worked really hard at trying to get consistent with his shot. He's deceptive, but one thing we do know right now is he's very competitive and he's willing to buy into whatever role we need to put him in right now. I think, I mean, both of those guys, really, to hear Rick Barnes rave about either of them, that's got to be a good sign. That's got to make you feel good, because what do we know about Rick Barnes? In the past, he's not really been the most complimentary coach in the world, or at least he likes to pair compliments with constructive criticism. I think maybe he's loosened up in the last couple years. He's been a little bit more complimentary of guys, but it's not often, especially a freshman or a newcomer, is getting public praise from Rick Barnes to the extent that either of those guys were. And all the reports seem to indicate that both of those guys have really been playing some good basketball. Finally, he was also asked if BJ is more of a point guard or shooting guard. He said, hey, I think both. Played point when he got here all summer long, but we wanted to be off the ball with the group that we have. We like to get guards rebounding more, going with the ball, knowing multiple positions. So didn't really reveal a lot there, but I think it is important to note that he said, hey, he played strictly point all summer long. I think that that's a good indicator of the kind of role that that Rick Barnes envisions for B.J. Edwards. But Sam, we'll go ahead and catch a break here. Man, I know it's in the middle of football season. I know we're 4-0. So it's just kind of like way over there right now. It's not really in the front of our minds. I know maybe it even could be a little bit hard to get up for this team early because of how last year ended. But I think this is shaping up to be a really, really good basketball team. Maybe even Rick Barnes' best.
Mm. That's fun to think about. Like, you wouldn't have last year's team, you wouldn't have expected them to have been as good as they were. So
I think that this is going to be a really, really good basketball team. Anyway, Sam, send us to break, and we'll come back on the other side. We'll switch over to football.
North Knox Siding and Windows is Knoxville's number one choice for all home exterior projects. If you've been putting off replacing old siding, windows, doors, anything on the outside of your house, then now is the perfect.
Back here on the Blitz. Hey, the Big Orange Philly phone lines are open. 865-546-8200. Your number to call in. Talk with us today. Big Orange Philly, 6625 Maynardville Pike and Halls. Delicious food. Great vibes. Versatile. We were just talking about the Tennessee basketball team being versatile. Hey, so is Big Orange Philly's. Quick lunch. You know, some burgers and brews after dinner or after work. A weekend out, pool, darts, karaoke, live music. They do it all. You can check out their full menu at BigOrangePhillies.com. And if you can't make it over there, well, don't worry. They deliver via Grubhub as well. Again, 6625 Maynardville Pike and Halls. We love some Big Orange Phillies. So earlier this week, gentlemen, we played a little game with the NFL right now. We're through 3 weeks. We're starting to learn more, I think, about these teams. But, you know, I don't think we truly know what it's shaping up to look like until probably about halfway through the season. But we talked surprise starts, and out of those surprise starts, who we think, you know, is going to continue down that path. So now I want to reverse that exercise today in terms of, you know, teams that have had surprising starts, good or bad. You know, what do you think is either fool's gold or just, you know, a team having a bad start that's going to turn it around? Like, who is not showing them their true selves through the first 3 weeks of this NFL season? I'll start with you, Andy.
Yeah, I'll start with I do think Cincinnati Bengals will get it together. 1-2 right now, bottom of the AFC North. I don't think they stay down there for the entirety of the year. They got a tough division. I mean, Steelers are still a tough win despite, you know, not having – Ben Roethlisberger, Mitchell Trubisky, they still have proven to be a tough game. The Browns and the Ravens, 2-1. I think Baltimore is still going to be their toughest competition, but I feel like the Bengals just have to get a bit of a rhythm. I feel like it could be hard going to a Super Bowl, you know, probably earlier than you were expected to. I don't think anyone obviously expected the Bengals to make a Super Bowl last year, so, you know, in a lot of people's minds, they were ahead of schedule. So I feel like expectations have to be a bit hampered, but I also, you know, I don't think this 1-2 start is going to be any indication that they're going to be a below 500 team. They have too much talent not to get things together. I think Joe Burrow's already played his worst game of the season, a game in which they still should have won against Pittsburgh. So I feel like, you know, the Cowboys game, the offensive line looked terrible. So obviously there's a lot of things they have to work on. They have to protect Joe Burrow a little bit better. They've got to be in a bit more sync. T. Higgins has been, you know, concussed twice, basically. So he hasn't even played but one full game. He hasn't been healthy. And then Jamar Chase has had brutal matchups. I mean, Jeff Okuda shut him down. You know, going up against Trayvon Diggs and the Cowboys obviously always creates a tough issue. But I just think the matchups have been really tough so far. So I think it will be a Bengals team that we probably see still at the top of the AFC North. I know a lot of people were pressing the panic button on them early, but I still am confident that they're going to win this division.
I don't know if they're going to win the division. I also...
It's either them or Baltimore in my mind.
I don't know. I haven't been able to figure that one out yet, honestly. But, you know, I think it's probably some kind of mix of what you said. Like, I do think that they got way ahead of schedule on their rebuild last year and, you know, had a fortunate run of everything kind of clicking at once. And it did set their expectations far too high. And I think that, you know, they were due for some regression this year. But I agree with you, like 1-2, they're not going to be a below 500 team. But that offensive line, still struggling. You know, I think they almost kind of bought into their own BS a little bit too. A little bit too much, and I think that kind of corrected itself. But yeah, no, I think the Bengals turned around. I mean, me and Sam were both big on Bengals money line tonight. Sam?
Yeah, I'm going to look I'm going to go towards, man, I got two here that I'm kind of flip-flopping between. I'm going to go with the Niners. I think they're 1-2 right now, but I don't think that's necessarily indicative of how they've been playing and how they're going to play with Jimmy G now back as the starting quarterback there. They lost that rain game to the Bears. Blew out the Seahawks, and then they kind of had just that stinker game against the Broncos. on Sunday Night Football. But I just think that 49ers team is too talented top to bottom, just overall as a roster, for them to not make the playoffs. I don't think they're going to win that division necessarily, but I think they're going to find a way to sneak into one of the wild cards, and I think that team's going to get it going here in the next couple weeks. I just think, I don't know, there's too much continuity in that roster. I think they got a lot of the same pieces, and that defense is good. I just think they're going to find a way to get it done here in the back half of the season and get things going.
Once again, Sam just stealing my thunder. I was also looking at that 49ers team because, yeah, I mean, there's just, like you said, a lot of continuity within that roster. You know, they got George Kittle back last week, but also, I mean, it's just a weird situation for them to deal with early in the season. You lose your starting quarterback week two, and, you know, it's not just a regular old backup. It's a guy that was practicing on his own separate field, just throwing to trainers by himself. Like, that wasn't even really, you know, all that engaged in the offseason with anything that the team itself was doing. Everyone just assumed he was good as gone. They were just waiting on a trade to be finalized. Like, he was basically not a member of that football team. Even as Trey Lance's backup the first 2 weeks, you know, he was maybe getting traded to Dallas at one point. Like, he was, you know, maybe going to get moved here or there or wherever else. Like, they still, I think, only kind of thought that, you know, I think they only kind of thought that he would be there for the remainder of the season. Like, I think there is still part of them that were like, yeah, we could still trade him at any time. So for him to step into that role the way he did, like, that's just a weird situation to navigate. But you hung on and won that game. Then you lose a tough game on the road in prime time. But, you know, I think this team does figure it out, like you said. I think that this week could be a big week for them. They're going to be favored at home in Monday Night Football against the Rams. I think that they find a way to win that game. And I think that kind of turns things around for them. I think this is a 49ers team that is going to be one of the better teams in the NFL again. I do. But since you took the 49ers, I also kind of look at this Dolphins team that's 3-0, and I know that they're the darlings of the NFL, and I know that they're at the top of power rankings, and they're calling them the best team in the NFL on First Take or whatever the show's called these days, Get Up or something like that. I mean, I know everyone loves them. 75% of America betting on them tonight. And I think that there's a lot to like about this Dolphins team. Obviously, two really talented receivers. I really like Mike McDaniels. And it's a defense that's been good for a while. But I don't think that they are. I think that we're jumping a step too far with how we're evaluating them in this early portion of the year. I think that they're a good but not great team because I just keep coming back to Tua Tagovailoa. And it hasn't, you know, I think he's still missed throws this year. I think he's still even underthrown some balls, and it hasn't really bitten them yet. You know, they've started 3-0. They've looked really good doing it. But I just think that, you know, eventually average quarterback play is going to catch up to the Dolphins, and, you know, they'll look like a team that's one or two games above 500 to me. I think that that's what they ultimately end up as. I think that they're that hot team that everyone loves at the beginning of the year that kind of fades. That's how I see the Dolphins.
I don't know. There hasn't really been necessarily – I feel like maybe week one was probably Tua's worst game. Other than that, I haven't found, you know, too much issue on a reason to say, you know, Tua hasn't been doing well in the offense. I mean, I feel like it's easy to underthrow a ball to Tyreek Hill when he's 10 yards past the defense. So, you know, I don't mind the Dolphins. I don't think they're going to be I agree with you in the sense that, like, I don't think they're the best team in the NFL. Just because you beat the Bills 1 week doesn't make you the best team in the NFL. You're 3-0, sure, like, great start. You've probably had the best start in the NFL. But I do still feel like there is a lot of work to do. And even they're probably like, you know, we don't want to be overrated at this point. There's still a lot to figure out. It's a long, long season. Just 3 weeks in. So I kind of agree with that. You know, obviously, I still think the Bills are going to win this division. I'm excited for that second matchup, the one in Buffalo. So, yeah, I kind of agree with you there. I don't think this is an indication we're not expecting like a 17-0 season.
I mean, the way that people were talking about the Dolphins, though, people are talking about him like they talked about the Bills in the preseason.
No, they're getting a lot of hype. I think it's because their coach is fun. Yeah. And like, he's got a really fun personality. I think it's just the weapons they have are fun. There's just a lot of fun to this team, and they're playing well, obviously. So it's just like, it's hard not to hype them up a little bit. Miami, obviously, is a popular brand. It's a popular city. It's just they're easy to hop aboard and say, this is the team now.
Well, we'll see. We'll see tonight. I kind of just, the more I think about this game tonight, the more I kind of feel like the Bengals just run away with a football game. Like, I'm really starting to feel like the Bengals blow the Dolphins out.
Did you see someone, so the Dolphins were practicing at the Cincinnati Bearcats facility, and someone was snapping videos of every single one of their plays in practice and posting them on Twitter.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's not good.
Like, does that actually
help, though?
Do you think, like, the Bengals are, like, doing anything with that?
You can all, they already have film from every game.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, like,
maybe there's a new play they're working on. I guess maybe the thing is, like, Tua's questionable. So if you see him, maybe
he has
full-on practice.
A back injury,
yeah.
Quotations. Anyway, hour one done. Hour two on deck. Roberto, I know we got you on the line, but we got to go to the end of the hour here. We'll start off hour two, heading to the Big Orange Philly phone lines. Stay with us here on The Blitz.